Fuel Range. Wait around and find out. Hello, and welcome to Best Motorcycle Roads. I'm Tom.
And I'm Todd. Together we have over 65 years of combined motorcycling experience and 30 years of planning and riding motorcycle trips. We're here to share with you everything we've learned over those years.
Our goal at Best Motorcycle Roads is simple. Make your next motorcycle trip the best it can be. We'll dive into technology, planning, packing, the routes, other tips, and everything in between.
From essential prep to unforgettable routes, we've got you covered.
Before we kickstart today's journey, we ask you to sign up for our BMR Rider Alerts. It's our way of keeping you in the loop with the latest rides, tips, and stories. We promise no spam, only the essentials to enhance your motorcycle adventures. Join the BMR crew today. We'll put a link in the show notes. This segment about motorcycle gear reviews and tips we call the Toolkit. On the Toolkit today, we'll talk about tire gauges and because we needed one on this on the Eclipse trip. It just made me think of it. We had got to our meeting point. If you remember, Chris diverged from the Chicago area. We came from Iowa, and we met in Hannibal, Missouri. We got there, and we were just getting ready to leave after stopping for lunch, which we'll talk about later. But and Brad noticed that, because I think your tire's a little low, you know. So we found a spot, and I had brought a tire pressure gauge that I had purchased a while back, and I tried to buy a little nicer one because, man, a couple things. One, if you ever have to check the tire pressure on the back wing of a Honda Goldwing, it's like a contortion event. Right. And I don't contort very well, Todd. So this, usually you want to look for something that, now there's some super nice ones that have like pivoting fronts, but this one, you don't really ever want one that comes out the tip end straight ahead. You usually will want something that's at like a 45 or a 90 degree angle, just because you're having to sneak down in around there. You know, the Harley front and back has a pretty wide tire, pretty wide rim. And then some bikes, the Harley has a single disc on one side. So it was actually interesting. We ended up kind of getting it in from the left side of the bike, even though you're kind of reaching through. And it worked out well, but yeah, it's really nice to have one. And then one that locks that pressure in. And so you can kind of get it set. And then you can take it off and look. Oh, yeah, I'm still a little low.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, it releases the pressure.
Yeah.
So just a couple tips. You know, you can still buy a really nice tire gauge for $10 or $15 versus $2. I would just, it really works well. And then this one actually is kind of cool. It has a glow-in-the-dark face.
Oh, yeah.
So then, you know, if you ever need to hit it with the headlight and then go down to it, and then it's glow-in-the-dark too. So just something to keep thinking about as you think about
that
these
locking,
things.
The locking pressure thing, I've had those before, yep. And I don't have one now.
Right.
I have more of a standard.
And the stick, you know, the old school sticks are okay, but you bump them and then they don't fit with motorcycle tires really.
No.
Highly recommend that. And then just making sure that, you know, probably overstretching the ride-wise a little bit here, but just you got to watch those pressures. You know, some of the newer bikes, the new Goldwing now, I can check that pressure on the way. It's really amazing to see. So the recommended tire pressure on the Honda Goldwing is 36 in the front, 41 in the back. It's really interesting to say how high those get. Like, really be careful and be thinking about it. When you get those tires heated up, the pressure goes up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially if you're starting when it's really cold.
Yeah. Ride-wise is the section we focus on planning and safety tips. So today we're going to focus on some planning and safety tips. And this is about like heavy traffic, which is the case on this trip, because the highways were jam-packed with cars following the Eclipse.
Right.
And just super heavy traffic on the, whether it was highways, interstates, even side roads, it was stop and go, right?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing here, number one, everyone's getting fussy. Cars, bikes, the whole works. It's just, no one's making great decisions when this starts to happen, which is, in my opinion, an absolute horrible place for motorcyclists to be living.
Yeah.
You do not want to be around when people, and it, you know, we were seeing it, and we actually, when we pulled in one of the first times, you know, Chris was getting the riot act from this guy, and we're just like, dude, we're trying to stay together here. Like, just let us stay together. It's like, fine, pull out in front of us. Like, you can be in front of us and we'll be right behind you. But, like, we want to stay together. And then, man, I mean, it was just, and then people left lane, right lane. It just, like, stay in
the
lane.
It was only four bikes, right?
We were four bikes.
Four bikes. So,
but yeah, thousands of cars. It was actually unreal coming back. So, yeah, I would just say, and then you just got to pay attention on these motorcycles. And I'm riding an automatic Goldwing, so I'm, it's no big deal. But, you know, those guys were clutching it back there, you know, and foot brakes and shifting, and it's a pain. Doing it all over again, we should have absolutely just turned around, went whatever direction, and avoided everything. But what do you know? But it's just something to think about. You know, I know when you and I rode down to the Tail of Dragon, we ran into rain, and I think there was an accident. And two things that I remember about that. One, this is going to come of a shock. I didn't have any rain gear on. But we rode up, and it was raining. And then I was like, because I'm like, hey, I'm cool. We're moving. It was just
blowing past.
Yeah, until we stopped.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, now it's getting wetter. But, you know, rain or those congestion, people are just not paying attention and just, you know,
inching up on you.
Or on the phone or on, you know, whatever's.
Yeah.
Such a dangerous time. I mean, I just get the heck out of these situations, I think.
And the other problem, though, too, is get out of there, right? So you're watching Waze, which sometimes will update you and say, hey, I found a faster route. So what do? You follow Waze's decision, get off the highway, and you don't realize that everybody else is also watching Waze.
Right.
Everybody gets off the highway, and now you're still in the same traffic.
We were
on smaller roads.
We were at the beginning. I'm like, all right, we're watching. Chris was watching Waze. I have the Google Maps. I'm like, well, it's telling me that turning left is a 20-minute extra. I'm like, we're not going that way. And then, oh, pretty soon it's like, oh, nope, it's 6 minutes faster now. So we get on there. We're thinking we're in the best thing in the world. We're zipping along. Pretty soon we did this. Pretty soon it's like, hey, man, we're getting close to the interstate. I can see it again. Well, this particular interstate south of St. Louis on 55 is not your interstate with exits. It's just turning on from an off-road.
There's no merge.
So we're 30 minutes, half mile from the interstate, and it was an hour or probably half an hour because you're trying to merge. They're trying to zipper merge into traffic.
And nobody wants to let you in at that
point
because they're all pissed.
They're already pissed. So, that was so bad. So,
it's tough to see, you know, the truck that you were next to in traffic, you get off and go all these side roads, finally come back up and you're right next to them again.
The only thing we did do at the very end, we ended up taking like Business 61, I think, when we got into St. Louis. That was a little better. But you could see it was just red. Yeah. We could have went to Kansas and had a better idea. So, yeah. The next segment is what we call the mile marker. It's our story segment. For today's mile marker, we'll recap our Eclipse trip. Probably the worst news that happened a couple weeks before the trip even started.
Yeah. Of course, Tom has to order a whole bunch of stuff for his bike.
Oh, come on now. I was talking about you not going on the trip.
Oh, well, there's that. Yeah, okay.
So we planned this trip for 2 months or more.
Probably 4 months been planning this trip. And then just a couple of weeks beforehand, I find out that something at work has changed. The schedule has changed. And now I have to work. I can't avoid it. So, unfortunately, I missed the full solar eclipse. That was a bummer. Because, you know, I loved it in 2017.
Yeah.
Was just looking forward to the trip again and riding with everybody. And son of a gun, I couldn't do it.
Well, the good news is this year we started early so we can end late, you know.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this before, is not getting things too tore apart before D-Day. I thought I did good. I mean, I had a day where the bike was complete together beforehand.
True. But you didn't have a test ride, did you?
Maybe
a little small test ride, yeah.
But then Brad, same thing. Yeah. He's kind of pulling his bike out of storage because it was early. I mean, it's early. We left. It was 38 degrees, I think, that morning.
And windy.
Oh gosh. He ended up having a short on the bike, blowing fuses every 5 minutes. He had everything tore around 5 o'clock on Saturday night, day before we leave, but. Luckily, he was able to figure that out, and it was a fog light switch that was kind of wore out. So he disabled that, and everything worked, so had no troubles on the trip. So that was nice.
Yeah.
So day one, boom, we leave. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Todd was there to send us off, and It was almost raining, 38 degrees.
Cold, windy, cold, raining.
Ugh.
And let me guess, Tom, you didn't have your rain gear on.
Well, we were going to be rolling. We didn't need it.
So,
looking at the maps. The weather did not portray what I was seeing.
And I wasn't even there, and I just know that you waited until you were completely soaked all the way through, and then you put your rain gear on, right?
Well, it was 38 degrees. I may have waited till I may have stopped a little sooner than normal. I don't think my underwear was wet, so. But then again, that was probably because I had the heated seat.
Oh, true.
So, yeah, we stopped at Lone Tree School parking lot, and I'm like, okay, it's time.
Oh, okay. So you went that far.
With the Lone Tree.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we kept thinking we were going to weave around it.
That's half hour from here, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But, I was proud of myself, as a, we're 50-year-old men here. I got my ring gear on without, a chair. The little winds, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we rode out of the rain probably somewhere in Missouri. It wasn't hot, but at least it was enough to get dried off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up in Hannibal where we met our buddy Chris at Big Muddy. And that was some good barbecue. The only thing that I have against Big Muddy is there was one guy working there.
Oh,
he was cleaning the plates. He was cleaning the tables. He was preparing the Big Muddy and taking orders.
Wow.
But this place was not very big. Well, I mean, it was like all great barbecue. It was connected to the gas station.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was really good. So we got connected there with Chris, and then we rolled on down a little further. And mm-hmm. then for us, we're from Iowa, so the women's national NCAA championship was on. And so Chris, we couldn't find it anywhere. So Chris ended up finding it on his like XM or something, and he was playing it so loud that it was going through the speakers.
Oh, all through your headsets?
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then we got into Montgomery City, Missouri, and I'm like, there's a Mexican restaurant. Let's just stop. So we did. So we got, we hung out there and talked to them. And after 15 minutes, we figured out that we could only watch the alternate channel where the Sue Bird and that other lady was talking about it. So, but we still, it was enjoyable. We sat down and waited. We thought we were only 30 minutes from the hotel. We were about an hour and 40 minutes away from the hotel, but it worked out great. It's kind of, we talk about these things. Here's Big Muddy was a great plan stop. We checked it out. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Dos Primos in Montgomery City was a not planned stop, and it was fun too.
Yeah.
Audible. So that was day two. Rolled into Rolla, Missouri. Nice hotel. Stayed there and then got up in the morning early and headed down to Doniphan. And man, there's a lot of great roads and great riding in Missouri, but
yeah.
Missouri 819 might be one of the great ones.
Really?
Yeah, that thing was unbelievable. And we picked that up. We picked that up on the day before as well. So out of Hannibal, we were riding on that mm-hmm. as well. So that's a great road. I think it would be considered the old, Avenue of the Saints, maybe. I think 61 would have came after, but I didn't check that out. But what a beauty of a road. Down through lead mine country, which is kind of cool. So the next morning, we ended up in a town that you've been to before. And one of the riders, Turk is a train buff. His dad was an engineer on the train. And so there's a little thing, there's a town. I use that term very loosely because I don't know how many houses are there. Six?
Oh.
And then Bixby Country Store. And what's cool about the Bixby Store is it's got the train up above.
Yeah.
So we stopped there, and I had what might have been the best breakfast sandwich I've ever had. So bacon, egg, and cheese. Oh, gosh. It was good. With a side of pineapple cake.
I remember that. Oh.
Well, it was almost noon, so.
Okay. All
right. So then we finally made it down to the Eclipse. We were literally, the next town south was Arkansas.
Hmm.
So we're right there. And, man, we started pulling in, and we're like, okay, this is going to be interesting because there was cars everywhere.
Mm.
This was a little bitty town
that
we kind of picked on the map, and there was people and cars everywhere. We pull into town, and I'm assuming maybe it was the fairgrounds or the big city park. It was packed. So we kind of weaved around through town, and we're looking around, and we ended up in a Baptist church parking lot. So we figured it was a win-win. If it was the end of the world, we were right where we needed to be. So, yeah, we kind of pulled up there, and, you know, very different experience, I think, than you guys had last time where you had a group of people. This was kind of, we were just kind of by ourselves, and it was a little quieter. But what was wild is just the number of people when the eclipse started happening. You could hear them from that.
From the distance, it was
pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the fun part is I set up a couple GoPros. We've got a couple of time lapses. And then I haven't showed you, I don't think, yet, but the drone video, too. So I had flown a drone for about 11 minutes during the eclipse. So. Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, like what you've talked about before, I mean, it was funky color out. What I think the most amazing thing to me, Todd, is 98% of the sun was covered by the moon, and it was still daylight. And then, boom, that last sliver.
Oh, yeah.
And then, pa, it just temps.
The temp goes down 15
there
degrees.
There wasn't quite as much chatter, bugs, birds, like you had kind of experienced.
I think it was later in the year.
That's true.
Yeah, it was later
This was
in the year
April. You were in August.
Yes.
So that is probably a huge difference. Mm-hmm. But boy, did it got dark, you know, and street lights came on. And one of the cool pictures on the drone is I got it up there, and the camera was not, I didn't put any filters on it, so we weren't really getting like pictures of the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did do is do a couple 360s with the drone so you could kind of see the horizon. It was cool. It's weird to see a 360 degree horizon with no sun. We'll post that on the YouTube channel at some point here, but 4 minutes of darkness this time. You guys, I think, had two minutes of darkness, two and a half. So it was interesting. And then we left, and it was the damn traffic.
It was traffic forever.
Unfortunately, we screwed up, and I didn't put the day two map that we had planned out, the second map of day two in, because it probably would have worked out great. We were going to cut across east to west, go to Chester.
Oh, yeah.
We totally blew it.
Oh.
Yeah, so we didn't get to go there, so we'll have to plan that in
on
the next one, home of Popeye the Sailor.
Yep.
Really cool little park. You know, we're getting really old now. We got to stop at the parks and see the waypoints. So, but boy, did we on day three on our way home had a great time. We were talking to Chris. If he would have just hightailed at home, it was a 4.5 hour drive for him just to go straight 55. And he's like, I don't really want to ride the interstate. And so we decided that we actually, we rode with him together all the way up on the Illinois side, 61.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wrote, all the way to Monmouth, Illinois. So So that was fun. We stopped in, what town is Western Illinois College in?
I know what you're talking about.
Not Macomb. Maybe it is Macomb.
It might be
Macomb.
It might be.
We stopped there, had pizza at a pizza buffet. It was wonderful. So, yeah, we had a nice leisure trip home. When we ditched Chris, then we were staying on the Illinois side all the way up to crossed in, I don't remember where we crossed.
You didn't cross in Burlington, did you?
Muscatine is where we crossed.
Oh, Muscatine.
Yeah, we crossed in Muscatine. Boy, it was cool though, because in Iowa, that was really like a few days before planting season was really going to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to just like ride through that river valley. It was a beautiful day. Temperatures were just right.
Yeah,
we had a good time coming back, and then so it was a good one. It was a really good one, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed it.
Well, you know how it is. I mean, as far as the it was a short trip, just a 3-day, but I think very, very good time. So as usual, so we'll hopefully post some more pictures and videos and things as we get a little time to catch back up on that.
Yeah.
The podcast can be found on bestmotorcycleroads.com/podcast. All the information you need will be there. But you can subscribe on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, Pocket Casts, and YouTube.
This is the interactive segment. We will be looking for input from you. We want you to send us your questions and suggestions for roads, topics, and anything else you have on your mind. Today's roadside Q&A comes from Eric. And Eric said, newer rider here, what's the safest way to lay down a bike to avoid an accident? Well, Eric, Never lay down a bike. Never, never, never. No, no. Don't do it. Your tires have a lot more friction with the pavement than the side of your bike and metal. And yeah, don't do it. Just a real heavy squeeze on your front brake. Apply the back brake as hard as you can without
you'll know when to stop. It'll start squealing.
Yeah, yeah. Don't lock it up. You know, don't jerk your brakes front or back. Just a heavy, heavy squeeze, and get as much speed out of it as you can.
Yeah.
I know people think of that when you're a newer rider. Like, if I have to lay it down, where should I go? Just don't. Do not lay it down. Yeah, that's the worst thing you could do. You know, and it could be some crazy circumstance. If you did lay it down, you might get in front of it, and then it's coming up behind you. But you're not going to slow down laying it down.
No.
It might even speed up just a little
bit.
Well,
and, you know, Chris has been in a motorcycle accident before.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that happens when you start to lay it down, and this is why I am very huge on having bags on the bike, because what happened to Chris, and this is what happens, is your left foot usually, because you're going to usually lay it down that way. It's possible to do it the other way, yeah. But your foot goes under the bike on the wrong side of the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bike comes and basically climps off your ankle.
Yeah.
And then you've got an ankle that's just spinning round and round.
Yeah.
And the same exact thing would have happened to me when I hit that deer, except the bags were there. And if I have a scar on my ankle, exactly, I'm sure where Chris now has a pin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the deepest gouge you can imagine. But then my bike triangulated or pivoted on those things and my foot, you know, popped out. But otherwise, I know exactly where it would have cut,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. And one thing that I did especially, and they'll teach you this if you take any of the motorcycle rider safety classes. There's a couple of three things they really press onto you. One, if you're running over something, you know, you want to brake before you get there and then actually let up and accelerate. You're lightening the front end and then you hit the brakes when you get over it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of, you know, using inertia to do that. The other thing that they will do, and, you know, I used to do it a lot. My dad used to do it when I was learning to drive a car. It's like, I'm going to tell you to say stop, and I'm going to want you to stop as hard as you can stop. I mean, mm-hmm. you really need to practice stopping fast.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And until you do it, you just don't know what that bike's going to feel like. I mean, I know you've had a couple of close calls where you've been able to sneak through, but boy, oh boy, oh boy. And
Yeah. It's unreal how much power your front brake really does have.
Correct.
Your front brake has got a lot of power. It can really pull the speed down quick.
Correct.
Without skidding, because, you know, the weight is going onto that.
Correct.
Front, and it won't skid like you think it will.
It will eventually.
It will eventually, but I tell you,
I've locked up both of them. It was not a good idea. But no, I mean, for real though.
Scrub the speed. You know, if you hit something, you might come up on top of it, but don't.
And know your bike. I mean, I would say bikes that are post 2010, 2020, they have a lot of anti-lock brakes, so you're just going to lay as hard as you can.
Yeah.
The other thing to note, too, and they would talk about this in the rider safety courses, trust your tires. When you're in a corner with a bike, you actually have more surface when you're cornering than when you do when you're straight up.
Yes.
So, like, it's kind of, again, it's a mental process, but lean it over more. Most people are not leaning the bike over to the point of trouble.
You know, in a turn, yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
And, you know, your brakes will work in a turn. You just got to, there's some, you want to test that as well, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nine times out of ten, I think you're going to be better to be on that bike.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned if you're going to run over an object.
Brake
as hard as you can and then let go.
Let up and then...
It also allows the suspension to work.
Let me repeat that. So if you're going to run over something, hit the gas when you go over it and brakes when you get over it.
Yeah.
You're lightening the load on the front tire with acceleration and then you're lightening the load on the back tire with the braking.
So, yeah.
Yeah. A funny story, a guy we know, Lincoln, he actually did lay the bike down. He said, I hopped on top. He goes, I didn't even know what I was doing. I slid the bike down the road, but...
Yikes.
You might want to practice that if you're not getting...
No, don't practice.
No,
it.
No.
No, no, never practice.
It does. It is possible.
Yeah. He got lucky.
Not probable.
He got lucky. Yeah.
That was the nine times from the one time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the last mile. It's the way we close out every episode with our reflections. Todd, what's your reflection of this last ride?
Well, I just really wish I could have been there. I felt so bad that I had to, just 2 weeks out or 3 weeks out, I had to tell you I couldn't be there. But I do appreciate you guys including me on a couple of phone calls and some chats while you're riding and then at the hotel and kind of giving me updates. I mean, you made me feel like I was there and still included, so I did appreciate that.
Well, they were missing you at Dos Primos as well. So.
Yeah.
The Supreme Nachos were really good.
I'm no doubt about that. But no, I appreciate it. And I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah. Well, I was super excited to finally see the real eclipse. I think last time I kind of was an idiot and didn't go and watch the real eclipse. So, you know, I know... I think we were talking about 10 years as the next option if we don't want to go 20, to Iceland.
Oh, no, if I think you don't 10 want to go years, to Iceland, yeah,
right. 10 years we can go to, like, Montana, maybe it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little sketchy on which of us might be able to ride a motorcycle by then. Yeah. So I was glad to see it. It was fun for me to do the photography that we did, so looking forward to seeing how that comes out. Mm-hmm. If this episode revved up your day, please don't keep it to yourself. Like it, subscribe to it, and share it with your crew. We're all about the thrill of the ride and the bond it creates.
Keep the spirit of adventure alive and remember, bikes, friends, and endless roads. The stories ride forever. Take care.